Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pay-per-view prices getting to you, maybe MLB blackouts, maybe the insane cost of Sunday ticket, whatever it might be. NordVPN.com/Fightful is here to help. You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You change your virtual location with one click. Maybe you want to be in the West Coast when you can't watch a game on the East Coast. They got you covered. Maybe the pay-per-view prices are just too high or there's too many of them. Switch your virtual location overseas and get the prices that they're paying there. NordVPN.com/Fightful does it all for you. And that's in addition to their password manager, their protection on public Wi-Fi, the ability to use it on all your devices, including your router, your TV. It doesn't matter. They've got you on all those. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you're just feeling wild and you want to try it. Well, you know what? In 30 days, if you don't like it, spoiler, you will. You can get your money back. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's November 4th, 2024. This is your Fightful post-show review for WWE Monday Night Raw. Brought to you, as always, by NordVPN, BetOnline, as well as another sponsor, which we'll get to a very important message from them later on. But leave a thumbs up on this video. Get your super chats, humper chats in. We'll tell you how to do that momentarily. But if you're here, let's do a roll call. Drop a fruit emoji. Let us know that you're here. We got Denise Salcedo. Denise, how you doing?
What is up? I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. This time change, though, Sean, it's throwing me off, man. I feel like I got to take a nap at 3 o'clock.
Denise, I am not a morning person. Like, I love...
Sean, do you sleep? I'm sorry to cut you off, but I feel like you're up all the damn time. Like, I could never predict when you're asleep.
I am up crazy hours, but especially if I know I have to wake up in the morning, I can't sleep. Like, I just can't. Like, it gets in my head. I would love to host In the Weeds Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Fightful Overbooked, but I cannot get up in the morning. It is not a thing. I have found myself getting up at like 8 a.m., and I will go to like text you about something and I'm like, oh wait, it's 5 a.m. where Denise is.
Yeah.
Like, I can't be doing that.
Hours later.
Yeah. I was like, I can't be doing that.
Remember the one time that I woke up at like 12 something and yes. I woke up and I was like, shit, it's already 3 o'clock where Sean is at. And I'm barely getting up. Like, what is wrong with me?
So when I covered MMA full time, you know, everything's based in Nevada, especially at that time. And I had an outlet I was talking to that said, would you be opposed to moving to Nevada? And I was not ready to give up wrestling coverage at that point. And I was like, my God, I wouldn't get to any news till like 3:30 Eastern. Like, what are we doing here?
No, but, I hate it because sometimes like WWE will send news and it'll be 5 a.m. for me. And I'm like, bro, I'm not going to see this till at least 10. And I wake up and everybody's already posted about it. And I'm like, well, it ain't news no more. I'm already late.
They used to not do that. They used to wait until the middle of the day. And a lot of people will ask me, well, why do you or how do you choose when you release news? I almost always release it in the afternoon or the early evening because West Coast is awake. And like London, everybody in Europe is still up as well. Like, sorry, Japan. Sorry, Australia. You got the terrible lineup there. But that's how we usually decide it. But yeah, it's messing with me as well.
Yeah,
but no guys,
the West Coast no more, bro. They're like, we're on East Coast time. Everyone's awake. Let's post news out. Forget that Denise is barely getting some sleep. No thanks. I hate it. It makes me so mad.
Well, guys, send in your super chat, send in your humper chats. If you're watching here on YouTube.com/Fightful, you can send in a super chat. Or if you're watching anywhere, go to humperchats.com. That is humping like the camel or other recreational activities that you may partake in. Humperchats.com that gets your question or statement read on the air. FightfulSelect.com had 2 Raw Scoops threads. We had it yesterday as the show was set to film in Saudi Arabia. Then we had another one today with producers, writers, backstage news, a whole lot on that. We also had a rumor killer, Denise, on Becky Lynch, because I had a question on our Q&A podcast today on FightfulSelect.com. Someone said, did you hear what Jonathan Coachman said? And I was like, no, I didn't. And he said that he had heard Becky Lynch had asked for $2 million from WWE and they wouldn't give it to her, and that's why she's off TV. And I asked, and both, like, everybody involved in that situation said, absolutely not. And WWE was outright like, if we could get her for $2 million, we'd be throwing a parade about getting her for $2 million.
Right. I was going to say, that sounds kind of low for Becky. Denise. Like, am I crazy?
She'd be reviewing WWE Raw with you and I if she was worth $2 million. I'd be telling Jimmy, pay this woman.
Let's get a GoFundMe or something. Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds kind of low for Becky.
It's like, sorry, Kyler, but Denise, like, Becky's going to be tweeting Raw for us if it's $2 million a year. Like, what's?
Can you imagine Becky tweeting about Raw, like what she would tweet out?
Yes.
That'd be hilarious.
That move was disgusting. That's what we'd be seeing there. But no, we got more details on that. We had the Raw Scoops thread. We had details on who Netflix has requested from WWE for Netflix, but also a lot of other details in there about that upcoming Raw on Netflix show. Unfortunately, Friday, Fightful broke news of three departures releases. Now, the reason I use the word departures, Denise, a lot of people were saying, oh, they're calling them departures now. No, I'm calling them departures because earlier this year, a guy named Triple H went on there and said that a bunch of people in wrestling media had the terminology wrong about Drew Gulak hitting the bricks. And in this situation, there were two releases and one contract expiration. So we broke the news on that. We have a bunch more details. Denise, Baron Corbin was at last Saturday's Netflix commercial taping. He confirmed this to me on Twitter even. Did that surprise you?
No, because we have seen stuff like this play out before, Sean, where we see people that, I mean, God, Indy was wrestling on SmackDown after she had been released. Imagine that. Imagine not knowing that that's your last match. I think that's kind of like the worst part, when you don't know if it's your last match there. I think that sucks, right? Because you at least want to have the opportunity to say a proper goodbye, to like really soak in the moment, really live it up. And so, I mean, I'm not surprised by that. We've seen all of these like really weird situations and things unfold. I mean, when I think about, for example, you know, we're talking about Baron Corbin, for he was someone that was on the main roster, went to NXT, then got called up back to the main roster. And I'm thinking to myself, why couldn't he have just stuck around on NXT? Sean, you know, they need more guys on NXT. I talk about this on a weekly basis, where we're like, that men's division feels super slim. And it's the same thing. For example, Dijak was another one that was doing a hell of a good job on NXT, gets called up again to the main roster, and then nothing happens. He gets released. Trevor Lee, Cameron Grimes, that's another person that also was part of NXT, gets called up, and then gets released. So it's things like that that just happen that make no sense. Indy Hartwell, a person who got released too. She was NXT Women's Champion, gets called up to the main roster, has to drop the NXT Women's Champion, goes to the main roster, appears sporadically in a tag team with Candice LeRae, and then after that, you know, a couple however long later, she's released. So what I'm saying is, no, this does not really surprise me.
We have a lot more details on that, what went into the decisions and all that. Here's our process of that. If when we break that news, it's always up on the free tier of FightfulSelect.com. We do have a free tier up there, guys. So if you've ever been like on the fence about subscribing to FightfulSelect.com, just $5 a month, $54 a year, we do have a free tier, and free stories do come through there. And you can also see the headlines of our paid stories and decide if you guys want those, or you know, just a little bit of a teaser of a trial, so to speak. But get those super chats in, get those humper chats in. And today I did drop a Q&A podcast and the Fightful Report that I drop every week over there. Vanessa Vasquez says, didn't even watch Raw, but I'm here for y'all. Vanessa, I always love seeing you here. And immediately when I see your name, I just remember that you were a witness to one of the gnarliest street fights I have ever heard of. Did I ever tell you about that?
What?
Oh, my God. So I don't know how much Vanessa would be comfortable with me sharing, but there's a situation in which basically Jessamine Duke and Shayna Baszler beat up people who tried to attack them with ball bats. Like, just disarmed them with their asses years and years ago, pre-WWE. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? All of this is confusing to me.
Legitimately. I won't go into the fine details of it. I think there was a story out years and years ago, which is largely gone, but some people came after Jessamine and Shayna with some weapons, and they just disarmed them with their asses.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I wish we all had the skills to do that. If anyone comes at us, fuck them up.
Of everybody I ever trained with, which is a few UFC and Bellator fighters, I have never met a machine like Jessamine Duke. Like, that woman does not get tired ever. I would still love to see her do blood sport or something. But Ryan says, Sean, do you know about Bianca Belair's contract status? Do you see WWE approaching her early and trying to lock her down like they have been doing? 100% they are going to approach her early and hope that they can keep a hold of her. And I would imagine she's going to stay, but Denise, she is an anchor. She is going to be a big part of that company for years to come if they're lucky.
Yeah. I think there's certain people where like, oh yeah, I could see them going to AEW. I can see this person, hopping over. Bianca Belair, I'm sorry, it's not one of those people. I look at her and she is WWE through and through. I mean, God, she's doing commercials with Cardi B. She's out there. She has her, does she still have her Hulu show? Do we know if that's been renewed? The Love and WWE? Well,
I don't know if it's been renewed, actually.
Well, whatever. The point is, she had a reality TV show, and that's huge, okay? So things like that that she's been able to do, I just feel like she is very, very much WWE, and she's one of the people that I feel like WWE uses well in terms of the marketing mainstream. Like, she's everywhere. She's done a zillion interviews. She's always being sent out to like national media and all of that, and she's always part of the promos. She's also in the Cricket Wireless and Slim Jim stuff. She's been part of all of those campaigns.
She's always at the community events we do. And yeah. I don't just mean the junkets, guys. I mean the food banks. I mean the Boys and Girls Club. I mean all that stuff. She's always there.
She's the person I've interviewed the most, Sean. I think I've had 10 Bianca Belair interviews.
She's great.
That's how often she's at these places.
And also, I got to say, if for some reason she made the jump, which would not happen, that's a hell of a catchphrase.
Where the EST wrestle, bro.
That's pretty good.
She should still do it. Why can she do it? She could still do it. Why not?
CC Bonbon says, Def Rebel updates talent quotes about them. We had a major report on them on Fightful Select. I'll give you a taste of that report, which I think is now up on just for regular Fightful viewers. Talent that I've talked to that normally would have input on their themes are like, we've never heard from them. We've never met them. We have never been asked for input from them or anything like that.
Met who? The people that do the music right now?
That do Def Rebel. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Met them. So
shouldn't you be meeting the people that make the music so they can get a glimpse of your personality?
Mikey Ruckus will meet with people or take input from people. Jim Johnston always did. Even CFOs did.
I say this all the time, Sean, and I've told you this plenty of times, but when I was a kid, I used to think that the wrestlers sang their own theme songs because they used to sound so much like them, like the ones that had lyrics, right? But I just remember that everybody's theme song just so much captured their personality, captured the character. And yeah, like sometimes the wrestlers sounded like whoever it is that was singing their songs. Like, you could have fooled me 100 times over and over, and they did. And now it doesn't feel like that way. It feels like weird, like certain, I mean, we've talked about this. I think it was a real key indicator was at the Royal Rumble, where people like you and me, Sean, and everybody here who watch the weekly product and know Raw and SmackDown superstars, yet we were sitting there going, who is this? And you know how embarrassing that was to realize I watched the show every week and couldn't name like half the songs that were being played. I had to wait until that person's name popped up on the Tron to even know who it was. It's embarrassing.
Yep. And they didn't have to, back in the day, to have an identifiable theme, you didn't have to have somebody like have their name recited over the thing. Now there were some that happened, like, you know, the Al Snow catchphrase and New Age Outlaws and stuff like that. But I mean, it was far less insulting to your intelligence.
Yeah.
And I mean, there was a like one of the talent was joking with me, and they're like, man, the start of Damage Control and Judgment Day, and for a while Rollins themes were all the same. They would have like the at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Like it could have been one of any.
That's right.
Like it could have been one of 15 people at that point between Judgment Day, Damage Control, and Rollins.
That is true. And that's terrible, because that's the whole point. You want to hear the song and you want to, you know, God, I mean, I'm going to go to the biggest and the best example, but Stone Cold Steve Austin, you think you're going to confuse that, the glass shattering, with anybody else? No, not.
I felt like after the real glass thing that Jack Perry did, you remember how he had like that Beethoven theme? They should have had a glass shatter sound and then it go to Beethoven.
Sean, I would have been pissed. I'd be like, you do not deserve no glass shatters. No, this is for Stone Cold Steve Austin exclusively.
And I will say, this person's right. The CEO one's the worst, and that ain't even a WWE one. Like the
Mercedes?
That one, like going CEO over and over again, the fake chants, woof.
Yeah.
Alex says, hey, Sean, sent a chat Wednesday about my grandma. First, thanks for the advice and story. Secondly, she passed about 12 hours later. We as a family were there when it happened. Now the hard part, figuring out how to move on without her. Well, Alex, listen, I am so sorry that you lost your grandmother, but I really appreciate the fact that you sent in that chat, not just tonight, but back then, because I have had a very, very rough year dealing with the loss of my grandmother, and it was very nice to be able to talk about it a little bit in a public situation and have Jimmy offer, you know, his as well. But I just want to say, man, you helped me out a lot by sending that. So I'm sorry that you had that loss. I hope so much that, you know, you did get to spend a little bit of time, because what I will always tell people is I passed up a lot of opportunities and interviews and appearances and stuff to spend time with my grandmother earlier this year, and I don't remember a single one of them. I can't remember a single person who I passed up, anything like that. All I remember is getting to spend time with her. Hope that you got to do the same, my friend. We have WWE Raw kicking off. Now, this show brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Denise, I thought that this past weekend was one of the hardest shows to call in a long time. And there were three underdogs that ended up winning.
Oh, Crown Jewel.
Crown Jewel. There were three underdogs that ended up winning between Cody, Liv Morgan, and I can't remember who else, but Liv Morgan kicked off this show, cuts a promo. She's got Dominic with her. Anonymous says they were piping in booze for Liv and cutting out the "you deserve it" chants. I get why they do it. I can't wait to have it back to live TV because of the genuine crowd reactions. Also is rooting for Dom. Denise, I got buried on the World Wide Web last year because I said, why are they piping in booze for Dominic?
They don't need him. Yeah.
Because they don't need it. And I had people say, well, I'm here live at the venue and it's loud. No shit, Sherlock. They do it on TV and they don't need to. But what a lot of people don't know about WWE, they pipe in a blanket sound anyway, and they have since the pandemic. There's always like the sound of chatter. That way it's not completely quiet.
Which in a way it does kind of help sometimes, because there's other times where like I don't want to be the person that compares. But of course, there's times where I'm watching AEW and it's like when someone's cutting a promo and it's dead silent. And then you hear that one person shout one random thing.
Exactly.
And it's distracting. And you're like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to singly be able to hear just one person shout something out.
I think it's really good that WWE does that blanket sound. AEW should do it. TNA should really do it, because then you avoid Bobby Fish becoming a meme, even though he's a good sport about it. I'll say that. But they don't need, like, to me, like, let your crowd chant "you deserve it" to live, and don't cover that up. Like, Dominic never needed piped in booze. Never needed piped in booze ever.
And got booed at his wedding.
Yeah. The dude's media tour. Oh my God. This dude is so funny, Denise. Like, he is hilarious. But I like this combination of Liv, Raquel, and Dominic more than I like the Judgment Day in totality at this point.
Because the Judgment Day has hit an expiration date, Sean. They hit it already. Like they brought down that tag team division. Carlito has like one funny moment here and there. It just doesn't feel JD McDonagh. I mean, the biggest thing that we talk about JD McDonagh is his head, and that's it. And it's the same joke that we've been playing over and over and over again. Has there been anything new to say?
Denise, let's just say I helped lead that charge.
You did. Yeah, you did.
Me and Seahawk were talking about how big this dude's head was way before anybody else. I'm just saying. All love to him, but we were doing it before. But Bianca and Jade come out, and Jade and Bianca, they're talking their trash, and Liv's trying to stir up a little bit of shit along the way, and I love that. But Bianca slapped the shit. Like, that slap that got thrown tonight was filthy, but this sets up a battle royal for top contendership. Well, why do they got to do that, Denise? Because Rhea Ripley got hurt and they ain't built anybody up.
Yeah, that's what it is, which sucks because I think that we should have known. It's funny because when they announced the battle royal, I thought, well, it can pretty much go any direction because there's nobody that's like a clear cut person. The only person that I can think of that would be the best option was Io Sky. And then it ended up being Io Sky. So I thought, okay, yes. Great. Awesome. That was the right choice to make, but truthfully, it could have gone any direction.
Because they have not built anybody up. Denise, I had somebody on the Fightful Report podcast pose an interesting Q&A question. And they were like, just to clear up, somebody says, wait, you can hear piped in noises in the arenas? Only if they pipe it through those speakers. Usually when they pipe in stuff for Raw, it is through the broadcast, not through the speakers. Someone said, who is going to win the Women's Royal Rumble? And I'm like, I don't know. Because Liv is not in a situation where she'll need to. But I'm like, well, if there was ever a year to have an NXT talent win the Royal Rumble, it might be this year. Because you've got this incredible crop of NXT talent right now. One of them catches fire. They can win. You've already had Charlotte, Becky, Bayley, Bianca, Rhea, all these people win the Royal Rumble. Why not go with an NXT talent and then forevermore be able to say anybody can win this, even an NXT talent? I think that's the best opportunity.
Yeah, I think so too. And especially right now, I think there's a lot of love and appreciation for that NXT women's division. And like you said, it's always been, you know, always been great. Of course, we know for the longest time, a huge part of NXT's history throughout the entire NXT has been of the women, right? Then it kind of took a pause. And lately we've started to see that new crop of talent that has just been completely dominating that show. Like, they are the reason to tune into NXT. And so, I mean, God, we're about to see on Wednesday this 5-on-5 where you got all of these women that are starting to make a name for themselves. Of course, Jordynne Grace has, you know, been there for a bit, so she's made a little bit more of a name for herself, right? But you still got, you know, Julia and Stephanie and Roxanne and Cora. All of those girls have been making a name for themselves, right? But you look at those people and there's at least, God, if you were to say, what if Roxanne Perez were to win the Royal Rumble? I'd be like, fuck yeah. What if you were to say Jordynne Grace comes in, she wins the Royal Rumble? I would agree with that one too. I feel like there's a lot of different options and things that they can go with. But I do find myself being intrigued more so by the women on NXT right now. Because for Raw, it's like the top women, right? The top women, they're the top women. So of course you're intrigued by them. But everybody below that, I am more interested in the NXT women.
I like the battle royal. I like that all of these women got to showcase the incredible gear that they had made too, because like I like seeing that at this point. It is a lot different than what we were seeing years ago where they were in a bodysuit and a t-shirt. They you can tell that they all take pride in having this gear designed, and that's fantastic. The crowd was into it. The crowd was there for this match. And I'm a geek for battle royals anyway. I love battle royals. But except when you're in one with me, then I don't really like them that much.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Remember when I eliminated you?
I mean, Hornswoggle eliminated me from one, too. Like, what do you want?
So what are you saying? You just suck, Sean? Maybe you shouldn't be in wrestling anymore. Maybe you shouldn't wrestle or be in Clusterfucks or Royal Rumbles or anything. or battle royals.
No, listen, I could say that I'm never wrestling again. And if somebody says, hey, be in this Rumble match, I'll just be in the Rumble match.
When are you booking Denise versus Shawn?
Never.
We haven't made that happen, huh?
Why? What are you going to do? Cut some more promos about my dead grandma?
Oh, my God. No, I'm going to freaking hit you in the face with a light tube. And it's going to be great.
Light tubes are not. We're just going to move on. We're what? Just going to move on.
What? We're not going to do a death match, Denise versus SRS? That's what I would sign up for.
Bad Robot says, I asked a while back, SRS, could you ever see an NXT person win the Rumble? Give it to Roxanne. She deserves it. And almost done with season 7 of Suits. I am into season 3 of it right now. It's really helping my productivity.
Meghan Markle, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she's very good in it. How are you liking Breaking Bad?
I'm on season 5, episode... That's the last season, right?
I can't even remember at this point.
I think I'm on episode 3. I'm liking it. Yes, I'm liking it. I kind of hate Walter right now, though. I'm not a fan of his. He started to get on my nerves a couple seasons ago. Okay, I'm season 5, episode 6. I'm liking the first 5 minutes of episode 6.
So you're gonna watch? Are you gonna watch Better Call Saul as well?
I do like Saul in the show. I like his eccentric personality. He's great. But I don't know. Everyone keeps telling me that I should, but we'll see how I feel at the end.
It's very good. It's a slower moving show. Plus, you got the El Camino movie, which is fantastic as well. But
I like his personality on the show. I think he's funny.
We are almost through the first segment of the show, though. Io wins the top contendership. I'm good with her winning the top contendership. She was on fire in this match as well. She just dropped Lyra on her skull on the apron. Jesus Christ. I am all for Io winning this match.
No, I was very happy. I think she makes the most sense because, for one, again, when I was thinking about who would be the closest to being the best number one contender, it made most sense for Io Sky, just because I feel like she has recently gotten another wave of momentum that has come for her. Like, people are kind of remembering, oh yeah, we really like Io Sky. People have always liked Io Sky. It's not like people ever turned on her or anything like that, but I just think that people have been reminded that they really like Io Sky recently again. And she's always that person that's having good matches with people, and I loved the last few minutes with her and Lyra. We've seen her and Lyra mix it up plenty of times, and so for me, I think that Io made the most sense for that. And then also, I'm not necessarily expecting whoever won the Battle Royal to go and defeat Liv Morgan, because it's clear that Liv Morgan is they're in it with her being the champion for the long run. That's what it looks like it. And I don't think that they're going to have her drop the bout to Io, but I also feel like it doesn't hurt Io to lose to Liv Morgan. And I also think that Io and Liv can have a match that are going to remind people that, hey, yeah, Liv can go out there and she can wrestle and she can have good matches, because a lot of what she's been doing the last couple of months has been so revolved around Rhea and Dominic that I do think we sort of forgot that, hey, you know what? Liv Morgan can go in the ring. Yeah. And I think that having somebody like Io Sky in a match with her will sort of remind people that this is a fighting champion, not just a champion that's all about Dominic Mysterio.
We see a clip of it's New Day getting interrupted backstage, but we see The Miz getting
this is so lame, Sean. I'm sorry. It was so lame.
I didn't like it.
It was just bad. It was not good acting. I think that's where I was at. It came off too corny, too cheesy. I made a joke on my watch along. Do you remember the movie The Hot Chick?
Yeah, too, unfortunately.
Do you remember Billy?
Unfortunately.
Do you remember Billy would make these funny faces and he would make this face? That's exactly who The Miz reminded me of. Billy from The Hot Chick.
This was, I didn't think this was good. The one positive I'll take from it is that we saw, Bo Dallas said, we were never after Final Testament. We were after you. And they had shown a clip of Miz talking to Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel years before. I'm interested in that. The best part of all this, Denise, was the social clip that Karrion Kross posted last week. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Was it the one where he was in his hotel room and then Scarlett came from behind?
Yes.
Saw 2 seconds of it.
So he's sketching and Scarlett goes, hey, Miz got abducted. And he's like, you mean kidnapped? She goes, yeah, the Wyatts took him. He goes, well, what do you think we should do? And she's like, well, we should probably go help him. And he goes, how long ago? She goes, 20 minutes. And Karrion Kross goes, oh, well, he's dead. He's definitely dead by now. Like, I'm not going to put on my jacket for that. And then Scarlett just guilts him into leaving eventually. He's posted another one tonight. I haven't seen it yet. But
so did he go look for him or did he not?
I doubt it. I'm sure he got to the car.
I was gonna say, I think in the 20 minutes, no, I think it's 2 hours. Like, if we're being legit, I think it's 2 hours. If someone gets kidnapped,
first the 48.
First 2 hours. No, but they said like the first 2 hours are like the most important.
I'm sure.
Here's the first 2 days. What is this?
This is clearly alive.
I know, but I'm trying to make it. I want things to be realistic. Okay, we live in a day and age where we eat up crime podcasts and crime TV shows like it's nobody's business. Like, we love crime. We're obsessed over here. Okay, so I'm gonna. Why do I care this much? I don't know why I care this much. I'm done. I'm not even gonna make a case for this. I don't even care that much.
Denise, I'll tell you something I care about. Very, very serious matters.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me at all?
Well, now I can hear you. Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay, let me talk. Let me talk, Denise. We have some very important issues to decide on this week. Some very life-changing things that are at stake. And I think you know, guys, that we endorse Blue. Blue Chew for Erection Day. You know we're all about it, guys. We want you to go to the polls, and we want you to get that special someone to hop on your pole. Do you want reliable ingredients? Well, Blue Chew promises the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but at a lower price. Do you want privacy? Blue Chew ships straight to your door. There are no in-person doctor's visits, no pharmacy. The packaging is discreet. You might as well be in a voting booth. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. These Blue Chew tablets are made here in the USA, prepared and shipped directly to your door or your post office box so you can deliver your pole to someone else's box. Make the right decision on Erection Day and go blue with Blue Chew. And with the code FIGHTFUL, you get your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. This will not be that hard of a decision. But the ramifications, and I do mean ramifications, will be stiff. Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots. And you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I thought we were going to wait for the song to end.
No.
I think it just replays.
And the only thing that you were missing was the little hat and like a little
something to do a whole thing.
All right. Well, happy erection day to everybody.
Happy erection day. Terry Allen Jr. says, small background about me. In 2008, started watching wrestling. With my Asperger's, I embrace, adore video games with nature, soft-spoken, enjoy the reviews. Terry, we always love seeing you here. You are always popping up in our streams and sending super chats, and we greatly appreciate you, man. I'm interested in, like, people that started to watch in that era, because I thought that era was a bad.
What era? There are some,
2008.
Oh, 2008. Okay.
But there are some people that romanticize it, and that's their nostalgia.
I think it depends, like, every time, because I started watching wrestling, like, late 99 was when I started watching. Yeah. 2001 was where I really started to pay attention a lot. Like, 2001 was when I really started to pay attention more and understand a little bit, because I was a little older by then. But sure. I hear people that tell me, like, oh, that was fucking horrible. What were you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, but I was a wrestling fan. It worked enough to make me a wrestling fan. So I guess, you know, I feel like everyone's always going to look back fondly at their time period of wrestling, mm-hmm. and when they started watching wrestling, because you became a fan for a reason. If it sucked, you wouldn't have become a fan.
Fair. Ryan says, with WWE looking to make a change in the music department with Def Rebel on the way out, could you start to see them licensing music? We have never reported that. We have never said that. We have never claimed that they're on their way out. We have never been told that they're on their way out. WWE will probably not consistently spend a ton of money on licensing music. And the reason is they got to dub it over on the network or Netflix or whatever. Now, if Netflix comes along and they say, well, this is what we want and we're willing to foot the bill, that's happened in the past. Like, for example, Spike TV paid for Sting once upon a time. So I think that's the likeliest scenario. Rafael Garcia says, but Denise, Miz was the star in the Marine Corps. Also, he said on socials, he found Miz in a Target. It was his action figure. Okay.
Wait, did he really find this? Is that what he said?
It was an action figure, yeah. Andrew says,
They could have done this kidnapping on NXT, by the way. That's where all the kidnappings happen.
I know. Andrew says, I'm expecting interference in Liv versus EO, but if they give them 15 minutes to just wrestle, the match will be good. Yeah, I just know what will happen because it's the same thing that's happened in every women's title match all year long.
Dominic or Raquel gets involved. And Raquel. All the time. Now Raquel, too.
Yep. We had the War Raiders defeating the New Day. We teased some dissension with New Day here, both backstage and in the match. But Denise, the highlight for this, to me, was Michael Cole and Corey Graves highlighting just how miraculous it was that the War Raiders were even wrestling at this point. Like, the commentary job that I thought that these two guys did was next level. They said that the War Raiders had to change their offense, and they mentioned that Ivar had to have double fusion surgery, which, like, maybe two wrestlers have ever come back and wrestled from. I think Edge is one. Ivar's motorcycle accident and his recent neck injury, and about how Ivar earlier this year thought his career was over. The dude was having to go to Birmingham to get stuff checked on. Like, it was serious for him. And he had a herniated disc, but it herniated outward instead of inward. And that basically is the reason he can wrestle. I thought they did a phenomenal job here, but the War Raiders winning, I'm like, yeah, use them while you got them. Like, New Day aren't hurt a bit by this. And the War Raiders, I think they should be winning the tag titles at this point.
They look great, man. They haven't missed a beat. I liked this match. It wasn't that long. I don't know how long it actually went, but I found it that it was very entertaining, though, because, I mean, they're both good teams, you know? And truthfully, I wasn't sure who was going to get the win here. I do think it made more sense for it to be the War Raiders, given that the New Day are still teasing their dissension and all of that. And whatnot. But no, I thought this match was really good, man. I'm such a big fan of Ivar, dude. That dude, every single time. I mean, we've been seeing him wrestle now for several years. And every damn time this dude, who's so meaty, does anything agile, it still gets me every single time. And so I'm glad to see both of them back and in action. And this was a fun little matchup. It was short and sweet.
Also, wonderful dudes. The few times I've interviewed them, especially Ivar, was very generous. Stayed after. Like, I was I was the last in his line, and it was cut off at a media day we did.
Oh, that was the one where I was in line for Kevin Owens for a whole hour. And then once it was like two people in front of me, they took him out. And then I saw you doing your interview. You did way more than me because I had chose to sit in that long. I made a bad decision to stand in that long ass line forever. And I should have gone to the smaller lines. But then is that when the whole fight with LA Knight broke out? And
yes, and then
your War Raiders interview?
He ran over, Kevin Owens ran over in the middle of my War Raiders interview. And
so you even got Kevin Owens, and I was the one who waited an hour in that line.
I was very strategic about those. Like, a lot of people will sit in the line, the longest line, to get like whatever big talent. But I mean, obviously, like, it depends on your business model, and we don't need to have necessarily another interview with a big talent. I'd rather have more of them and establish a connection with that talent. But
I try to get the talent that I haven't interviewed.
Sure.
And those are usually the hardest ones to get, because if you haven't interviewed, so that's usually what I try to do. But oh, I hate that. I hate having to come up with a freaking strategy. It stresses me out.
Sami Zayn promo. He comes out, cuts a promo, in their native language, and he's so proud to be able to do that. He says these are his people. He's so proud to be able to cut that promo. He is interrupted by Jey Uso, who said that he loves Sammy. He was so happy to see Sammy, but asks him straight up, "Did you hit Roman Reigns on purpose?" Jimmy Uso comes out, and he's like, "You know he did. You know he did." And Sammy cuts him off, and he's like, "No, I didn't." He's like, "And I only came out there to help Jay, but I got to admit, for a brief moment, it was like old times." And Jay personally vouches for Sammy again and calls him Sammy Uso. And man, this is like, to me, Sammy is like the Paul, like Paul Heyman. Like, he was brought into the family, so to speak. I thought this was a very effective segment, and like, it was clear that they're going to be on the same page. It's clear we're headed towards Survivor Series. I thought this was pretty good.
Three thoughts. One, Jimmy Uso had the crazy eyes when he was, did you see that? He was so intense. He was like journaling. His eyes were popping out of his head when he was trying to sow Jay on his point about not trusting Sami Zayn. That was the first thing. The second thing, Sami Zayn absolutely loved his promo because he brought up points from the past. He brought up the trial. He brought up the fact that while Jimmy was trying to make Sami Zayn seem untrustworthy, he's like, "Really? Me? When you've been betraying your own brother, like, how many times, like, with your past, you're making it seem like I'm the one who's not to be trusted." I thought that Sami Zayn's promo was smart. I thought that it made a lot of sense. And it was real, Sean, because if you're in an argument with someone and someone is accusing you of something, you're going to bring up every single possible defense that you possibly can. And that's exactly what Sami Zayn reminded me of here. He looked like somebody who was defending himself in a way where, yes, he remembered everything. Him telling Jay, "I can't do this anymore." I love that. Why should he do this again? He's been here. He doesn't have to do this again. So I liked that. And then my third thing was, I love that no matter what, Sami Zayn could still garner sympathy in this whole entire storyline, because even afterwards, as he was walking out and Jay referred to him as Sammy Uso, I was like, oh, teardrops. Like, yes, this is exactly what I like from Sammy. So the fact that they can still garner the sympathy was another strong point. So this was a good segment, and it was a good segment for Sammy because, like you said, connected with the crowd there and also with the crowd watching at home, like he always does. So not really a surprise.
Tamel says, "What is Adam Pearce getting for letting two top stars, Sammy and Jay, participate in SmackDown, let alone War Games?" Well, I mean, he's had that Cody Rhodes fella show up on his show an awful lot lately. That's probably pretty beneficial. But I would like to see some sort of on-screen explanation or reason. Cody Rhodes, by the way, also a Bet Online AG underdog this past weekend. He was Gunther was favored to win that match, so I know there were some people that made some money there on Bet Online AG. Speaking of Gunther, I just continue to love this guy's character. I just love everything about it. He lost. It was his fault that he lost. He held on to a sleeper, and Ludwig Kaiser was ready to like bitch about it? And he's like, no, he won. I think that goes a long way, that in establishing who is a champion. Gunther is just like, I'm good enough to take an L. Doesn't bother me. He was better than me that night.
That's been my favorite thing about Gunther, is that he tends to be on a high horse, but he also tends to have like a lot of I don't know how to explain it. He's no BF, right? He dishes it out, but he can also take it. And I think that's like the big thing about Gunther that I like. I like when he cuts these promos and he's such a jerk and he brings up the things that nobody wants to hear, but yet everybody is thinking. He's willing to say out loud the elephant in the room. But at the same time, he, again, just comes with a lot of respect. And I feel like that's important. Like, he's a heel, but also, in a way, sometimes he could be a little justified in the things that he says. He's kind of an asshole, but that's what I like about him. He's blunt and straightforward, and I like that. And at the same time, the fact that he was able to own up to it, shake the man's hand, and own up to the fact that he messed up, that he didn't, you know, get the win, I respect that. And I feel like that goes a long way, and that's the Gunther character. Like, he's a heel, yes, but he's got layers to him. I like that. I'm a Gunther fan.
I was a fan of this Dragon Lee Chad Gable match. Ray ended up costing Chad Gable the match. I don't even know where to start with this. This was incredible. This is the type of match
Dragon
you just
Lee almost
have.
Died in this, Sean.
Oh my God, that bump to the outside. Holy cow, his head barely cleared when he did that bump.
That was a
nasty one, but this is the type of match sometimes you just gotta have on WWE Raw. You gotta have a slapper. You gotta have a humper. You gotta have something that people are gonna be like, oh yeah, I can go to WWE Raw or watch WWE Raw and just see two of the guys that are the best at wrestling go out and have an incredible match. Now, of course, it ended in typical WWE fashion with some interference. You can't escape it. It's the monkey's paw situation there. But this was a phenomenal match, and I like that Dragon Lee's getting the win, because you further a Ray and Gable story, even though I think that Ray and Dragon Lee should be teaming more. Dragon Lee gets a big win, and Gable is also one of those guys. He's so good. I don't think he's hurt by this.
Oh, definitely not. But Dragon Lee getting a win, I'm telling you, even though it didn't happen in a clean fashion because of all the interferences and all of that, this match was freaking good. I feel like we don't see these types of matches often in WWE, right? Yeah. Like, we usually don't get to see this style as often. And so I really thought they freaking killed it. When Chad Gable got him with all those suplexes and then wouldn't let go, I thought that was cool. But then again, that one moment that I think of during this match was when I thought Dragon Lee was going to die. I was like, oh my God, that one, oh my God, my heart stopped. I didn't think he was going to have enough time to like protect his head. I mean, all of it just made me so nervous, but it ended up being a crazy visual. But no, this match was a lot of fun. Chad Gable reminding us once again why he's constantly a gem on the show. Of course, his booking could definitely be better, but hey, at least he's going out there and having some good matches. And Dragon Lee got a big, big victory. And I know that he's somebody that, you know, people have been sort of watching him in a stop and go sort of situation, where he comes out, he gets a couple of cool moments to show how cool he is, and then we don't see him anymore. Then we get a vignette, and then he comes back and we see it again. Then we don't see him anymore. Then we get another vignette.
Yep.
We've done this a lot with Dragon Lee, but this was definitely his, maybe this was his best match in WWE so far. Maybe.
What I want to see, though, I really, really just want to see WWE like change up the way that they utilize and tell some stories, because it's starting to get a bit redundant even in the Triple H era. Like, there's a lot of interference going on in these matches, like way too much for my liking. And this was another situation of that, where a really fantastic match ended with that main event. It happened
on both shows too.
Yeah. It's happening all over the place, and I'm like, can we chill a little bit with that? But R-Truth met Damian Priest. Finn appears to be jealous of Dom. Seth Rollins had an interview saying he would regain the title. Anything stand out to you here? Anything like,
I don't even remember this.
Yeah, there was just a variety of backstage segments. Yeah.
fact that I don't even remember this. What does that say about me?
Don't even watch the show.
I don't remember this. What did they even say?
I believe R-Truth ran into Gable and he said something like, wow, Kurt Angle shrank.
No, I missed that. I didn't see that. Sorry. I'm sorry. You want me to do a lie? It was great, Sean. It was wonderful.
You do a watch along, Denise.
I know, but sometimes I get distracted. I'm sorry.
What would you do without me, Denise?
I don't know.
Man.
I'm sorry. I missed one segment on the show. Maybe two. My bad.
I mean, it was three.
What were the other two?
The Seth Rollins interview.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I was waiting for Bronson Reed to attack him from behind. I saw that. He came out here looking like Maleficent. I saw that.
So I liked his gear tonight. I loved.
What was the other one, Sean?
Oh, it was Finn Balor. He's jealous of Dominic.
Okay, I missed that one too. All right, so I missed two segments on the show. I'm sorry.
Man. I love Seth Rollins' gear, the combination of the pants and the jeans. Thought that was really great. But we had the fatal four-way contender match. Bronson Reed just gets involved at the end of this, because why wouldn't he? And just raises hell. And he doesn't necessarily care about what he's doing to everybody else as much as he's worried about, well, let's make sure that Seth Rollins doesn't win this thing. Like, let's make sure that. And that is evidenced by the fact that he does attack Damian Priest, but he really doesn't care that Damian Priest won this match. Like, he's nothing against him. Although Damian will likely remember this. Damian now has cause for frustration here. You almost knew that Bronson Reed was getting involved. But my question is, as much as I like Damian Priest, why the hell is he in this match?
I feel like this one could have gone any direction, of course, but I was actually thinking Sheamus was going to win this. And the reason why I thought it was going to be Sheamus, I thought Sheamus or Dominic, that's who I was thinking was going to win. I wasn't thinking Damian because, okay, we've seen Gunther and Damian. We've been there, done that. Seth Rollins has held this championship, you know, what, twice already World Heavyweight Champion? Whatever. He was first one when they brought it back. Okay. So we've seen Seth Rollins do that as well. We don't need to see Seth Rollins as World Heavyweight Champion again. Then I thought, okay, so that leaves me with Dominic and Sheamus. Dominic has been on this whole nobody believes in me the last couple of weeks. So I thought, okay, I know he's not going to get a clean victory, but he's going to probably get a victory with some sort of shenanigans. And then when Bronson Reed came out and did his whole attack and Dominic was the only one who didn't eat a tsunami, I thought that that was where Dominic was going to win. But then when Damian Priest broke up that pin, I thought, oh shit, I guess they're not going that direction. So when Damian Priest won, my reaction was, oh my God, are they going to take the title off of Gunther? Because I don't know how I feel about Damian Priest losing to Gunther again. And then, but then that leaves me with, we can't take the title off of Gunther yet. I'm not ready yet. So it left me with conflicting feelings.
I was frustrated about the fact that they beat Dominic, or they beat Damian last week and then put him in this match. And then I thought back and I'm like, well, when's the last time that a singles wrestler won a match that doesn't have a title now? And I'm like, probably Xavier or Kofi in a couple of their matches, maybe like R-Truth against The Miz like a month ago. Like, they don't just have some people that are getting built underneath. Like, it's pretty standard there, but I'm just like, why? It just didn't make sense to be like, okay, you've lost to Dominic. Here's your top contendership match. Then why can't Bronson Reed be in this match as well after he just lost to Seth Rollins? He's got cause to be mad at Adam Pearce now. Because if Damian Priest can get in losing to Dominic, why on earth can't Bronson get in losing to Seth Rollins? You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense there. And that was, despite the action that was really fantastic here, it was just nonsensical. And commentary said he'd get a title match in the future, didn't specify when. Sheldon asks, is there a possibility that WWE either removes Priest for Punk or simply adds Punk to make it a three-way for the title? Well, Sheldon, as we had just mentioned, they didn't say when. It could be on Raw, it could be really whenever. We don't know necessarily when Punk is coming back. I mean, obviously it wasn't going to be before tonight. He was not going to work Saudi, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him pop back up next week and get the ball rolling on something. But this isn't a situation, I don't think, where they're like, oh my God, we got to do this match at Survivor Series. We know what's going to happen. Gunther is going to face Damian Priest, and guess who's going to get involved? The same sons of bitches that get involved every single time. And this is why I want WWE to freshen some things up. Right now, it feels like they're coasting. It feels like they're on cruise control with some of their booking. And I don't want them to be on cruise control. They've got a healthy lead right now. Step on the gas. I don't like it when my team is up 21 points and they're just like, eh, we're going to play lazy. No, I don't like that either. I want WWE to step on the gas. Keep doing creative stuff.
Well, they have right now. I feel like they're probably their big focus is primarily the Bloodline, just because that's like the big War Games match that we're expecting. So that's the big thing that we have this year. Saturday night's main event's the other big thing, but I don't know how much, you know, they're going to invest in that. So really, they kind of have like these next 2 months to really do whatever they want. They don't have to work that hard, I guess. And then you know that they're going to kick things off again hot in January, hopefully, obviously, because it's the Rumble and Mania season. So maybe they are in cruise control. I don't know.
Also, Gunther faced off with Damian Priest after the show. Damian Priest had words on, I think it was Raw Talk or Digital, for Gunther and Bronson Reed. So he ain't forgot about that. Like, he's it's still on his mind. And eventually, I think we're on a track for Gunther and Bronson Reed eventually as well. But yeah. Denise, tell the people where they can find you.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. I'm posting constantly on there, like every single day. Instagram, I'm so close to 100K. I'm at 99,900 and something. So if you haven't followed me on Instagram, go there because I'm almost at 100K. So please go there. Everything is at _Denise Salcedo.
Somebody says Priest won every match before Dom. What have you done for me lately? That's all. That's all. Just coming off of a win. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. We had an interview with Paul London that dropped today. It was a really, really good one. We got a bunch more coming this week. I got at least two
interviews. Dude, when I saw your Paul London interview, I thought that was RJ. But I just saw the thumbnail. It kind of looks similar. Like him. Yeah.
We have Atlantis Jr. We have Atlantis Sr. in a written interview, and the Hardy Boys scheduled for this week as well. Brett Lauderdale will be dropping early next week. I filmed that before the WWE ID stuff, but lots of great stuff, lots of great interviews coming, and you can get the early access to those interviews at Fightful Select. You can also get the notes early. We're going to have scoops over there, FightfulSelect.com. Until next time, my friends, we're out.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.